Ohio would be in number. Bingo margin. Yay!
Welcome back to the Jimmy's Army Podcast. Daniel here. This is a podcast about the energy for energy fans. I'm here, as always, with Tyler Williams. What's up?
Hey.
Ryan Hernandez.
Hello.
He's back. He's back, everybody. And we have a special guest today. Won't you introduce yourself to us?
I'm Sarah Koenig, and this is Serial.
Yeah, y'all didn't even know you were getting Serial podcasts.
This is Eddie Martz.
Eddie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, well, back in 1983, my parents got together. I've been a soccer fan for about 10 or 11 years now. Joined the American Outlaws about 2008, 2009. That's how I met these guys. I'm an Everton fan.
Yeah. Chelsea of the bottom half.
Chelsea of the bottom half.
Yeah. We're actually better because we have 2-1s in our ranking.
Ah.
So
I didn't know it worked like that, but all right.
Are they Chelsea of the bottom half or are they Burnley of the top half?
We're Chelsea of the bottom half. We won the bottom half of the table.
Real quick. I don't understand your logic there, Ryan. It sounded really stupid.
Guys, this is not an EPL podcast, okay?
Okay, continue.
We can continue with Chelsea being the champions. Okay, now we'll continue. So, we got a good podcast for you guys today. First off, because I almost always forget, want to thank our producer and editor Matt Crane, back at his home station playing video games while we talk about soccer and drink beer. So, thanks to Matt for all his hard work. Got a great show, like I said. We will recap a couple of great games right now. Energy are on what do you guys call a winning streak?
That Energy is so hot right now.
So we did have a couple games. Tulsa U.S. Open Cup, which no big deal, and Austin at home as well. So we'll cover those games. We'll look ahead to Portland Timbers 2, which is this Friday. We'll look around the league. We'll look at what else is going on in the U.S. Open Cup, as usual. And let's get started, boys. Yeah?
All right.
All right, let's go around. Ryan, what are you starting with tonight?
I am drinking the Line and Kugel's Summer Shandy because it is the
Official beer of summer. People didn't get that. It's official beer of summer. Thanks, Ryan. Eddie, what do you got?
I got New Belgium's 1554 Black Lager, as well as a Jack and Coke.
Tyler, what do you got?
I am drinking Anthem's Golden One. This is the one they sell at the games, the one that constantly sells out, and I get disappointed.
Anthem, we love you. I am drinking an Anthem as well as a Coop Ale Works, the Horny Toad. So we got a couple of repeat offenders here. All right, well, let's get started. Let's start first with a huge game, a U.S. Open Cup game against Tulsa in Tulsa on Wednesday the 27th. Energy did win 1-0 by a beautiful Peter Toth wonder strike. So, as always, we'll go good, bad, and ugly as we talk about this game. Eddie, why don't you start? What was your good for the game?
Well, it had to be that strike from about 25 yards out. You know, he says he was open. He wanted to hit it in the upper corner, and did it.
He did. It was beautiful. Ryan, what do you got? Good.
My good is the defensive effort by Cyprian Hedrick. It just seemed like throughout the entire game, if there was any ball that was played into our box, he was there to defend it, and he was out of his mind.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one. Cyprian was really good. Ty, what was your good for the game?
Well, aside from that peach from Toth, I would have to say the fact that we beat Tulsa, I utterly hate them. We had almost as many fans as them, too, which is kind of surprising. Not really. But, yeah, so big rivalry match. I think I was pretty much still high from this 2 or 3 days later, just completely excited and
that,
ecstatic.
And the crack.
Crack.
Crack. That.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that too. But family podcast, Ryan, come on, let's be real.
Yeah, that, so winning is always good. My good for the game was a little bit different. I knew that Toth's peach of a goal, a screamer, would be up there. So I actually went with Coach Nielsen's tactics in this game. Going on the road to your big rival in a U.S. Open Cup game, sometimes you kind of want to tend to sit back and let the game come to you and try not to give away too much. But we were the aggressors that entire game and put them on their back heels in their own stadium. And so I thought that was great that Coach Nielsen told the boys to just go for it, and they were rewarded for it. So lots of goods there. What are your guys' bad? Eddie, why don't you tell us what your bad is for the game?
So I had one play in mind when I thought of my bad, and it was actually on us. We had some pretty bad defending around the 16th minute. Tulsa broke out into a 4v2. We had four defenders back, and they still got a shot off. I mean, they put a ball right across the face of the goal. Luckily, it went right at Newton, but, I mean, just the fact that they were able to get that shot off when we have four defenders back and they put a ball out in front of everybody and couldn't get to it.
Yeah, there was a couple of points in the game that happened. There was also a couple right at the end of the game like that as well where we were kind of on the back foot after winning. So, Tyler, what's your bet?
Honestly, I think with the way that we maintained possession, controlled the game for the most part, I think our play in our offensive third wasn't that great. I mean, we should have done much better with our chances that we had. And I think some of the players even said it. They said, a couple of them said, you know, we should have won that game. You know, we should have scored 4 or 5 goals
right, rather
than just the one. And it's true. I think we've been finishing so well up until that point. And we did get the win, and it was well-deserved. But the fact that, you know, we should have won 4 or 5 to nothing rather than, you know, 1 to nothing.
Yeah, no, we definitely have plenty of opportunities in this game. Ryan, what do you got for your bad?
Yeah, it's definitely in the same vein as Tyler. Basically, just aside from Toth's wonder goal, our chances were rather unimaginative and pretty ineffective until we scored off of his goal in the 82nd minute. But yeah, like Tyler said, just not capitalizing on our chances that we had.
Yeah, so I think my bad for the game is kind of the opposite of what the good was for me. It was Tulsa's tactics. I mean, they basically came out and played scared in their own stadium. They sat pretty much everybody behind the ball. We're just trying not to get beat. And when you do that, you know, some of us who have played the game, you know, that's generally when you get beat is when you're trying not to lose. And that is basically what they did.
Just to kind of add to your observation, maybe that's kind of why some of our attack in the offensive third was a little bit lacking, is because they were sitting back and they were preparing for it rather than them going on any sort of offensive. They were just working against ours. And, you know, I'm not going to make excuses. Well, I kind of am here, but that might be a reason that we didn't score the 4 or 5 goals that we should have had.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, it's tough to score against a team that parks the bus, and I really think that's what Tulsa did, which was a bit surprising at home. I mean, I would be a bit shocked and probably a bit upset if we sat back in a rivalry game at home, but thankfully Nielsen's never going to do that. So,
yeah, usually it's the if you look at the statistics of the game, it's usually the other way around. You know, they only had 3 shots on goal because they were sitting back the whole time,
and
we had 9. So, I mean, we probably should have put a few more home, but just the fact that it was lopsided to an away team.
Right. All right, now here comes the fun part. I get to start since I host the podcast, but now let's go to our ugly. So my ugly of the game, keeping that in mind, is not just the Tulsa Roustabouts, who are always ugly, but specifically the Tulsa Roustabouts, who thought it was a good idea to only blow vuvuzelas in our section just so they can try and cover us being louder than the actual roustabouts. So, if
which
you guys,
still didn't work.
It didn't work.
No, I still think we were loud enough to where we were definitely heard.
Yeah, yeah. So if you guys, for those of you out there who don't know, we were moved to the terrace section where the roustabouts used to be, and
which is a great section for us, by the way. I don't mind.
I don't know.
Every time
I don't know
there,
why
I
they
take that any day.
I mean, I don't know why they wanted to move, but whatever. I guess they felt like they weren't being heard. The problem with that is they weren't being heard because they weren't singing. So that's the issue, not where they were standing. But anyways, if you don't know,
user error.
We were in that section, and just to the right of us were like a group of roustabouts and their stupid helmets and their vuvuzelas. And every time we sang, they would just blow the vuvuzela to try and mask.
And kind of like this. You know, as if that wasn't annoying enough.
Oh,
I feel like it was a strategy by the roustabouts to try and somehow gain the advantage on us. But of course they didn't, and they got really quiet after Peter Toss Wonder Strike. So that was my ugly. Ryan, what was your ugly of the game?
Basically, just before and after the game, leading up to it, the roustabouts banter on Twitter.
Awful.
It was terrible.
I was actually going to mention that. That whole thing about us leaving four cups, two cans, and a smoke bomb in the section, like the
littering.
Not even that, just like the
some of the stuff.
Their whole We Shot First thing, alluding to the whole like Han Solo. Yeah, I like Star Wars too, but that's incredibly nerdy, and they don't have. They say they have a championship, but they don't. That's in the NASL.
Yeah, there was no relevance to it either. I mean, they're a completely different franchise now. Chill out, guys.
It'd be like if we went and started a Sunday men's league team in London and called us Chelsea FC and then said that we won the championship last year.
We should do that.
We should, right?
Yeah.
We claim all of Chelsea's trophies.
Yeah, I'm going to start looking for jobs over there. So you guys, I suggest you do the same. Find out what the price of a Sunday league, Sunday team is, and, you know, we'll start our own pickup team or whatever.
We'll be Chelsea FC, and we'll have won the league.
Tag, we shot first.
We shot first. So, yes, it was great. Their banter was awful, and they were extremely butthurt after the victory. Eddie, what was your ugly?
Well, not to be too picky, but Toss Man Bun was my first ugly.
Peter, you're our hero, but...
Yeah, that was a really great shot.
Man Bun.
That Man Bun.
We made a chant for you, so obviously we love you, but...
Right.
The Man Bun is interesting, to say the least.
All right, I got three uglies. The first one was Ochoa, just because
of
because he ate all the pies.
He did eat all the pies.
He still had them on his chin.
I saw the crumbs. I could have swore.
Their keeper, his name is Lubin. I mean, we'll just go there. And then their striker, Eli, he had a couple shots on their a couple of their shots. Seemed like every strike he took was about 10 yards over the top of the crossbar.
Oh, my God.
So it just seemed like he couldn't get his leg over it, and he was just lofting the ball. I mean, every shot was ugly.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah, terrible.
Tyler, what's your ugly?
Well, we got I have so much to go over, sadly. We got some video time, and I'm just going to say, I don't want to see myself with a shirt off again, but I'm going to do it. Secondly, that baseball infield, can I just say that? That was hideous. Yeah, that was disgusting.
I think somehow it was worse than the first game ever. Like, I don't know how that could happen. Oh, you would think that logically it would get better, but it didn't.
No,
it got worse.
It was terrible.
they haven't maintained it since.
Yeah, chunks of sod flying as you run.
Well, we talked to Coach Richie, and he was talking about how you just kind of sank into it, and he said it was awful. And I mean, he had a better perspective on it than we did, and we could tell it was awful from the stands. Next, the amount of roustabouts that showed up.
Both of them?
Yeah, both of them. They had a capo and one other guy. You know, when you have a capo for 10 people, what are you trying to prove?
Think about it for a second, guys. Think about that, okay?
Capos are for large amounts of people to get to coordinate together. Not for 10 people to coordinate. We had 10 people there, and we all managed to coordinate.
Pro tip for you, Tulsa. If you have 10 people, you don't need a capo. Just look at the person next to you and say, I'm going to do this chant, and then do it.
Also, don't let the Tulsa world write that you carried around an imaginary baton in your in your walk around the stadium.
But guys, according to the Tulsa Roustabouts, Tulsa is the soccer city in Oklahoma.
I guess so. Well, they haven't seemed to beat us yet this year, so no.
No, they haven't.
So until they have a better record than us, let's just say they're not. lastly, I'm going to go into a little bit more detail about the four cans, two cups, or four cups, two cans, and a smoke bomb. You post on Twitter saying we're bad guests. What do you expect to happen at a ball field? Or not even just a ball field, any kind of stadium.
We left that stadium looking like a stadium.
Yeah, we left it looking like the rest of your streets of Tulsa. I mean, what's the difference between inside and outside now? Nothing. You're going to complain about that when everyone does it. And in fact, most of us picked up our stuff. I was guilty of leaving a thing or two, but the amount we drank and did, that's pretty clean to me.
I'd like to say I was nice enough to drop that smoke bomb on the warning track at your soccer stadium, not in the grass.
Here's the deal. I mean, for those of you guys who don't know, again, we had a couple of Modelo cans and some plastic cups, four in total, that were left in our entire section. And so the Roustabouts went over. They were so butthurt about losing that they went over and took a picture of it and said, invite Energy FC out to a game, and this is what happens. First off, I don't know about
Hashtag
you guys.
Hashtag bad guess.
I don't know about you guys, but my invitation must have got lost in the mail because I didn't get invited anywhere.
We had to kind of get a save to make sure that we could get anything. Like a section in there. We had to call them and we're like, hey, where can we sit as a group without, I guess, bothering any families? Like, where are we going to sit without causing a ruckus again?
Well, it was Bush League all around from Tulsa, the city as a whole. And the Roustabouts, as always, they're pretty bush league. But you guys have anything else to add? I do want to say I felt Hedrick and Van Compernol probably had their best two games of the season against Tulsa. They were lights out, especially at the end of the game. Hedrick and Van Comp had a couple of ridiculous defensive plays to keep, which was very nice. And I think that besides the game we're about to talk about, I thought they played really, really good. So, I mean, there's a definite takeaway there.
You want to mention the panty platform when you first walk in?
Yes. So they Tulsa use this very pretty cursive for their – it's supposed to be party platform, but the R – the cursive R looks a lot like an N, and then when you use a fancy font, it definitely looks like an N. So I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to stand in the terrace. Next time, I want to be in the panty platform. I hear that's the place to be.
Thank you, River Spirit, for...
Need to visit that panty platform.
And Casino, thank you for the panty platform. No, but really.
That'd be actually...
I want to look into that, guys. Not trying to be too mean, but...
That'd actually be a good place to watch because it's right next to the Roustabouts.
Yeah, I'm sure they would be just okay with that.
Well, no, they'd probably be afraid that since we take our shirts off in the second half, we're going to take pretty much everything off and get in our panties. You can't let those OKC guys get in that section because they will take their clothes off.
Tyler,
second half. Tyler, this is a family podcast, okay? But seriously, if you guys saw the video, I apologize for having to see all of us with our shirts off.
Mine was
on. You can also, after the goal scored, when they show it from the from a side view angle, you can also see us with our shirts off, leaning over the rails, just going crazy, which was kind of the funniest part of that video. You see a bunch of blobs just throwing
Daniel
beer
just
and shirts
so happy.
In the air.
He's like grabbing his head, like throwing his fist out.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know what we look like and you listen to the podcast, just find that video and look for the big bird looking dude with the Justin Bieber haircut and the chubby Mexican with a ridiculous farmer's tan, and that's us. So you're welcome. You guys have anything else about Tulsa?
But Big Bird, though?
Sorry, dude.
Okay, whatever.
I got one more thing. I don't know if anybody knows this, but we hate Tulsa.
Wait, yes. Yes. In case you didn't know.
We hate you, Tulsa.
Especially that Einstein guy. He's probably the guy in the supporter group that everybody secretly hates.
Who?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Einstein?
We don't need to call out names. But
no, we do.
No, we do. The guy who talked all that trash and then deleted his tweets. That
he also Twitter told our podcast on Facebook to play in traffic. So we'll have a video up for you pretty soon there, David, of us playing in traffic. We know some police officers in the Oklahoma City area. They'll get it set up to where we can play in traffic. There might be some jump rope, hopscotch, you know, all kinds of games.
So yes, just to recap. Just to recap, we did beat Tulsa 1-0. Toth had a screamer from about 25 yards out in the 82nd minute. We held on to the lead and ended up winning that game. So moving on, we had a game quickly after that on Sunday. Against Austin, a team that was right ahead of us in the standings, and we were victorious in that one as well, 1-0. That seems to be our scoreline right now, and it was a great game. Weather was perfect. Ty, what do you got about the game?
Well, I think the most exciting thing about this is after the result, we jumped up quite a few spots.
Yeah, we did.
Which was really nice to see. I loved that. I was very ecstatic to look at it this morning and go,
what are we, five?
Yeah, we're fifth. We're fifth right now.
We're fifth now. And we jumped Arizona. We jumped obviously Austin, Portland. And so, you know, we jumped three spots.
Yeah. And that's
something like that.
Like, yeah, like just to reiterate what Ryan said, we've only played 9 games. We're a point behind LA Galaxy 2 right now, and we have a game in hand on them. Sacramento, we're only 4 points behind, and we have 3 games on them.
We're tied with Orange County. And
no, we're a point behind Orange County.
We're a point behind them? Okay.
Yeah, they've also only played
We're a point behind them, and we've played the same amount of games. So they're the only ones that are really points per game-wise that are really, I guess, beaten in a way, sort of.
Right. Yeah. So
per games played.
Yeah, so
yeah, of course. Math.
Hey, guys, who's second from last?
Tulsa, they're awful.
Tulsa.
They have 11 points from 10 games, and the only team worse than them is also the worst team in the entire – oh, wait, no, I think FC Montreal is.
Oh, yeah, FC
Montreal. But they're the worst team in the West is Real Monarchs.
And
they can't score a goal for the life of me. We'll go over that later, but they, like an actual goal, not a penalty, but an actual goal. But we do have a game. We're digressing quite a bit. We got a game where we had a game, Austin.
Austin, great game.
Boston, Texas.
University Austin, of Boston in Massachusetts.
Boston. Octocad, Harvard Yard.
Oh, my gosh. And people are tuning out now. So, anyways, don't tune out. Keep listening. So, yes, we did play Austin. Last game we played them in House Park in Austin, which is currently still underwater. We tied 2-2. And this game, we got them back at home. We won 1-0. We had a very good goal, just kind of a scrappy poacher goal by Kyle Gregg. He just seems to score goals every time he goes out there, doesn't he?
He's hot right now, which
so
is
so hot right
yeah,
now.
Oh, he's Kyle so Gregg, he's Kyle so Gregg, hot right so now. Hot right now. you know, we got to talk to him a little bit.
Yeah.
After the game. And we talked to him a little bit what it's like to be in Oklahoma City, as well as what it's like to have that goal. So you guys can go ahead and listen to that. So here it is. Take a listen, and we'll be right back.
He's a two-year player.
One of the few, and we love it. We love it. You scored our first goal in history, and that's amazing to us. We're going to just ask you some kind of general question. How does it feel to, like, play for the energy as a whole? Do you like it? Do you enjoy the city of Oklahoma City?
Yeah, I know. I really like playing for the team. Obviously, I think it's a nice little culture we got going on here. Obviously, Oklahoma City's, you know, a big fan-supporting city, obviously with Thunder and teams like that. So it's special to play in the front of the home crowd. And, As far as the city itself, I really like it. It reminds me, I'm from Kansas City, so it reminds me of home a little bit. You know, I always say Oklahoma City is, you know, Kansas City 10 years ago. So it's kind of up and coming. You know, it's a smaller city, so no offense to you guys.
No, it's probably, you're very right.
It's probably true.
So,
but I mean, honestly, one of the reasons why I wanted to come here, because before this, I played in Wilmington, North Carolina, which was, you know, a 20-hour drive from home. So being able to come and play at a place that's only 4.5 hours, and my wife and parents get to come down to every game, or obviously my wife's here with me, but you know, my parents get to come down for every home game, so it's a special place to play.
That's
so
great.
So tell us how did it feel? You scored the first goal in Energy history. What was that one like? Tell us about it.
Honestly, it didn't feel like anything special. Obviously, it was important to win the game, but I didn't realize till after. I think I was getting interviewed by someone, and then someone in the news when we got back to Oklahoma City, and they were saying, "How's it feel to be, you know, a potential trivia question for the future?" You know, and I was thinking, "Oh, I don't know. It feels the same as scoring a normal goal." So, you know, looking back on it now, yeah, I can say it was really special to me. But to be honest, it was just, you know, I just like scoring goals, period. So
we like you scoring goals.
We do. Just keep doing it.
Yeah. Keep it up.
I will.
But definitely, yeah.
That was Kyle Gregg there giving you his thoughts on the game. Again, an absolute poacher. I think he has 3 goals and assists in 8 games, and his shooting percentage is .600, meaning he very nice, meaning basically when he shoots, he scores goals. So
he's kind of the Loic Remy of the Energy.
Please don't. Please just don't.
Can you leave that alone?
You just stop.
If I can make the comparison.
He is an absolute poacher, and actually this kind of leads into, now that I'm thinking about it, leads into one of the questions that we got on Eddie actually posted on Facebook and asked if he had any questions to post them there. And so I can't remember who it was. I think it was Jim Jackson who asked – oh, yeah, it was Jim Jackson who said, how long is Greg going to be on the bench and how many times are we going to be asking that? And so you guys can help me answer this, but I'll just say that, you know, sometimes players are just better coming off the bench. Not that they couldn't start, but, you know, a player with Greg's ability to be in the right place at the right time is exactly what you want in a striker coming off the bench.
Also, you've also got to take into account that strikers are hot. They go on hot streaks and cold streaks.
So, Greg, he's so hot right now.
He's so hot right now. But, yeah, so they go on hot streaks, they go on cold streaks, and you've got to ride it while you can. If he's coming in hot off the bench, you want to keep doing that. You want to keep bringing him in off the bench and giving him time off the bench rather than if you start him, that could ruin his whole rhythm. So,
yeah,
you know,
not to mention he can't really play the wide role like Townsend and Dalgard can. You know, he's really an out-and-out striker, so he's really only going to play when Koenig isn't playing. And let's be honest, Koenig scores goals too, so it's a good problem to have.
He's a goal scorer.
If you're going to score off the bench every game, why not bring you off the bench every game?
Every game, exactly. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right?
Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen.
And so, we, you know, hearing from Greg and listening to him talk, he is absolutely fine with that role. I mean, he relishes it, and he really takes advantage of it. So, you heard from him there. So, what else do you guys have to talk about for this game? You guys want to just get into good, bad, and ugly?
Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, Ryan, what was your good starting out for Austin?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say the defensive effort in general. It's our second game in a row with a clean sheet, and that's really what we want out of the defense and out of our team, is to not let the opposing team score any goals.
Analysis.
Yeah, no.
Analysis.
Actually, everyone that came in to play defense or our subs, that is, I'm just pointing out you, Cyprian, you did really well.
Cyprian.
Starters, subs, Cyprian, you all did fantastic this game. You kind of stood on your heads as well as Newton. But we actually got to talk to Cyprian after the game. He wasn't really... I mean, he was more or less, you shouldn't talk to me, I only played so long. But he came in.
He closed
a very crucial time, pretty much. I mean, this is one of the hardest things is to hold that one goal lead. He came in and he stood on his head. So, I mean, we can kind of hear what he had to say a little bit about it right here.
feel about coming in and closing out the game tonight?
Yeah, I mean, obviously as a player, you want to help the team any way you can, you know. Yes. So my number's called, and I'd step on the field and help the team, and I'm glad I was able to come and get a couple of touches, a couple of clearances, and, you know, help us see the game out.
Thank you. Yes, yes, you did, sir.
All right, so you guys heard from Cyprian Hedrick there. You know, just basically what he's saying is whenever they ask him to come into the game, he will. And as a defender, it's harder to come into a game as a sub. As a striker, you know, you're supposed to go out there and score goals. It's a little bit easier to get involved with the game. But as a defender, the game's flying at you.
I mean,
you know?
he did come in before the actual goal, but well, mm-hmm. and but he still, you know, he was still not as warmed up, not as hot as the other. He's so hot right now, but
so.
Not as.
Cyprian Hedrick, so hot right now.
Not as hot as the other players out there. And he still held it down. He was still a stone wall for us, and that's what we needed from him, and that's what all we can really ask for.
Very good. So, Eddie, what was your good of the game?
My good of the game, say a number of things. You could go generic like the weather, because it was perfect. It wasn't raining.
It was perfect.
You know, it's the first day we've had really without rain in the last like 6 weeks. You could say something like the momentum. We've carried 5 games in a row now where we're undefeated.
Hey, thanks for ruining it for all of us that might have had a generic analysis over
but
here.
But I'm going to go one good, Eddie. One good, and you have like seven of them.
Yeah. That's fine. Just because I'm prepared.
Us all under the bus for
just
because
I'm prepared
analysis.
And you guys are not. I'm going to say that Kyle Gregg had his mind right. He had he got married this week, which is a good thing. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's my good for the game is the fact that
I thought he looked upset.
Right. For those of you that can't see, Daniel's wife just told him he was number one. So,
congrats.
That was it. Kyle Gregg, just congratulations on biting that bullet. You know, you did not play like you had a ball and chain attached to your foot.
So, yeah, Ty, what was your good for the game?
Well, I'd have
the
to
weather.
Yes, the weather was fantastic. And yes, I'm glad we got to play for once. Yes, I'm going to go ahead and say something a little bit kind of out of the box. I looked at some of the highlights from the other games and watched some of the other games this week. And it looked like there were a lot of empty stands. And when I was at the game, I was severely disappointed because I thought ours were empty. But then I watched these highlights, and I thought to myself, ours were not that empty. Apparently.
I said the same thing.
I was so disappointed when the game was going on, and I was like, gosh, I feel like these stands are so empty right now. Why? What's going on here? But then I went and watched those highlights, and I was like, oh my gosh, never mind. We're doing well. We're doing all right, guys. We are okay.
It's a Sunday game, and we're in the Bible Belt, so you know how that goes. But
that also had something to do with the tailgate before. You just didn't realize there were so many people in the game.
Yeah.
What could that mean?
We had a couple.
I think he's trying to tell me I was intoxicated, but no.
we had to keep our wits about us because we were interviewing.
Because we have to pay attention and interview people afterwards and not sound completely stupid, just a little bit.
Yeah. So moving forward, my good of the game was Mr. Evan Newton, who has been absolutely fantastic.
He's so hot right now.
He's so hot right now. Are you guys catching a theme? Like,
he's
we're
so
hot right now.
We are so hot right now.
Newton in the first half, if somebody has the minute, let me know. But he had probably the save of the year. It was an unbelievable save where he's
minute
going
30.
30, yes, where it was going upper 90. Brilliant hit. He's shielded by players. He goes to his left with his offhand, keeps the ball out of the net, and it was a absolutely brilliant save. He also had another 1v1 in the second half where he. He made the save, but really he didn't really actually get the ball. But what he did was he took the angle away at the goal, and so the 1v1 ended up going wide. So anyways, Evan Newton had an absolute peach of a game.
And a peach.
We,
ac-
We actually got to talk to Evan Newton. Here's what he had to say about it.
So, you've stood on your head the last, I don't know, maybe three or four games?
Yeah.
And
from Vancouver to now.
How have you felt recently? Are you feeling good?
I've been feeling better. I went through a little spell. I was, to be honest, just a bit worn out. I didn't have much off season, and I think I was overthinking things a little bit. But, it's my first year with these guys, too, just trying to get to know everybody. And you can see we're starting to gel, and everybody's kind of, knowing where each other's going to be, and we're kind of on the same page. So hopefully we can keep getting better every week and just moving forward with that.
Absolutely. Definitely. So what do you like more about Oklahoma City compared to Arizona? Or if there's anything. Yeah.
Oh, man, you're trying to get me in trouble now.
Maybe a little bit.
We ask the hard questions.
I like both places, man. I have family here, so that's nice. Hang out with them and that's been fun. And the fans here are awesome. I mean, the fans in Arizona are great too. I mean, I've been fortunate to play at two places with amazing fans, and you guys are unbelievable every game. So, city-wise, it's not quite as hot yet, so that's a plus. And
yeah, it will be, but just wait.
The negative is probably all the hazards of weather here. So
we're with Newton.
But we got all the hazards of weather. So that's probably the negatives of here. Just dodging, for your life here.
Trust me, us as fans feel that as well. It's been really kind of depressing to have issues. But you did really well in the game with the rain. I mean, I was there. He was there.
Yeah,
we were kind of right in front of the dividers.
You guys are great. Yeah. We appreciate that. I mean, that was pretty
intense for all of us.
It's pretty amazing for you guys to stay around that long. And that was definitely a first experience for me, like having a game. Just on and off like that for so long. But, fortunately we were able to give you guys a win to go home with.
That's yeah. right.
We appreciate it. We stayed there mostly because we were already drunk, so yeah. It's fine. But,
that on the recording.
I wanted to. But anyways, we were there for you guys, really. And we loved it.
I mean, the drinking definitely helps keep you warm. So
It does.
He knows us.
We appreciate you, Evan. Thanks.
Well, I appreciate
you
guys, man.
Thanks,
man. Nice meeting you guys.
Nice to meet you.
And that was Evan Newton.
He gave us a little bit of a status about how good he's been lately, which is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, we asked him, we said, hey, what is with this hot streak? And I think he's a big part of that, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he told us that he thought that the team is starting to gel. You can tell he's really not thinking so much back there. He's just kind of playing, and obviously it's leading to better results. So
yeah, he's definitely gained a lot of confidence after his first few games. He's playing playing really out of his mind.
Yeah, I think we mentioned since the Whitecaps game, he's kind of stood on his head and apparently, according to him, he's just done his thing.
Yep.
Which we love your thing. Yeah, keep doing it.
Whoa.
Tyler, this is a
family podcast.
Evan,
family podcast.
We love his thing, Newton.
The new Great Balls.
I'm so horrible. I am horrible.
Why do I keep Forgive us.
This is all an accident, Evan. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make it like that.
Forgive us. Newton, you're doing well. We like to try and keep it real on this podcast. And so if we feel like players aren't playing like they can, we do call them out. So even more so when we feel like a player is absolutely in beast mode, and Evan Newton's in beast mode, this defense is in beast mode, which is what we really needed for the team to continue to gel and go forward. And you can see that happening in front of your very eyes, and it's great to see. So, having said that, now let's talk about a little bit of bad. Eddie, won't you start us off? Did you have any bad for the Austin game?
I did.
How many bads do you have?
No, just the one this time. Yeah, yeah.
He had a lot of uglies last game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Ryan wasn't there, I had no uglies.
Got him.
Got him. Zing.
My bad was the finishing. Once again, we had plenty of opportunities on goal, and we could only put one away.
And to be honest, the one we got, I mean, thank you, Kyle, for just being there for it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, anything fabulous. It was kind of just
Right.
Mistake by the goalie, and we took advantage of it. And thank you, Kyle, for taking advantage of it, but that's how it was.
Well, really, it was a mistake on the defense's part in clearing
right.
the ball.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. You're right, you're I mean, my back
the,
could be
the first mistake was there, but there was a second mistake by the goalie,
yeah.
in my opinion.
And Koenig,
opinion.
Koenig right. just yep. put his body into the keeper.
I was just about to say that. It was an absolutely brilliant play by Koenig to get
yeah.
in the way of the goalie but not foul him because
yeah.
you know how it is with keepers.
Yeah, he hit
you
that way.
You touch him, they're fouled.
And they were complaining about that, too. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah, immediately after they scored.
Koenig definitely hit the weight room this week before this game.
Yes, yes.
But,
and so have
looking
I.
Swole.
So
that Koenig, he's so hot right
let's,
now.
Let's go 1v1. Let's see what's up.
So, yeah, so Greg with a poacher's goal there, just in the right place, right time. That's all you can ask for. So, Ryan, what was your bad of the game?
My bad is going to be for the Austin game, just our difficulty retaining possession. It seemed like they had the ball most of the game, and while we did win, it would be good if we, you know, retained possession like we did in the Tulsa game. And
the twist
even,
top pop.
And even when our defenders did make the athletic play to get the ball away from Austin, it seemed like we would give the ball away carelessly. So just we need, I think, to work on retaining possession. And
fair enough. Tyler, what was your bad of the game?
Well, my bad kind of ruined it, I would say. From my bad originally was our attendance. Like, let me just go ahead and say that. Like, it was originally our attendance.
Harsh.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on. We were doing so well. We were one of the, like, top four in the league.
Well, like, two of our games got rained out, basically.
Well, yeah, and I wasn't even counting that game against Sacramento. I thought we actually had pretty good attendance per the weather, for all the flooding and horrible rain. But, so my bad is kind of just stupid now, because all the other teams had horrible attendance as well, and ours was actually better than them from what it looked like.
Yeah, I mean, let them catch us when we actually start to get beautiful weather and we have a Saturday game, you know. And then you'll start to see the attendance get up there where it should be. So,
yep. So yeah. So I'll go ahead and tell you my bad. My bad was the Townsend injury. From what we've heard here at the podcast, insider info, he will be okay. He may not play against Portland, but he did get hurt and have to come off. And, you know, Townsend's a player that we talked about in the last podcast, and he was so hot right now. I mean, 4 assists. So far, he's always involved in the goal. And
yeah, I mean, he did yeah. real bad those first few games. Well, not real bad, but you know, he wasn't at the level he's at now.
Right.
He was just starting to get into like his great form, like we said last week, and then all of a sudden this happened.
He's been involved a lot of the season, though. Just because you haven't talked about him every week doesn't mean he hadn't been involved, because he's been there.
He's been more involved on the score sheet is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Sure,
right.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, he's definitely upped his game. It's hard with Koenig is a guy who scores a lot of goals, and Dahlgaard does his own thing, you know. And so Townsend is almost like the man left out almost, but
when he is
starting to come into his own.
When you say Dahlgaard, do you mean Great Balls?
I mean Great Balls Dahlgaard.
Great Balls.
Hey, just checking.
Ryan's boy.
Wait.
Ryan's boy, Great Ball Dahlgaard.
Let's not start talking about Evan. We like his thing, Newton.
Goodness, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, everybody, and I'm so glad most of the players don't listen to this podcast and have their things talked about or their balls talked about.
We're not
also,
talking about
but,
things.
Okay. I think they'd like it. I think they'd like it.
They'd probably
fair
laugh
enough,
at
fair
us.
Enough. Fair enough. So
I hope.
I hope too. So well, we added Toth this week with his man bun, so now we can be added to the list. So
Peter
okay.
Man Bun Toth.
Okay, the guy helped us beat.
Yeah.
I'm never gonna hate the dude unless he does something drastic.
Yeah, and we also made a song for him.
Yeah, and I will keep that song and I will sing it every time I see his face.
It's definitely
song.
Definitely a fan favorite among the women in
we,
our supporter group.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
They do love the man bun.
They do.
They wish
we
Tyler
don't.
Had one.
We, yeah, they tried to get me to do it and I said
no.
No. No. Why? No. Please
so,
no. Please.
So we weren't gonna ask this question, but since we've already got there, Julie
one of our close friends.
Yeah.
We're going down this road, apparently.
For Peter, who I know listens to the podcast, a diligent listener.
I don't think he does.
I was being sarcastic, thank you.
Oh, okay.
He asked if Peter Toth, or she asked if Peter Toth was a cat owner, and if he would like to participate in shirtless second half with us. So,
I actually found out the answer to this game today. Peter Toth has no information on the internet, so I don't know if he's a cat lover.
Fantastic research.
So, Julie, what he's saying is, go find out yourself.
Yeah.
They were trying to go ahead and just say yes, based on absolutely no evidence at all.
I want everybody to know that I spent 5 minutes looking up Peter Toth, and there is nothing.
I'm pretty sure they found him on Instagram.
He's from Hungary.
Eddie's
that's all you
Google
gotta know.
History.
He's hungry.
Does Peter Toth like cats?
I was page 5 Googler.
He is a green, and he's from Hungary. So, anyways, right.
Let us move forward from this.
Yes,
actually. But first, we did speak with the coaches about their thoughts. First, we spoke with Jimmy, and Jimmy was very forthcoming. We asked him what he thought about the first half, and he actually gave his first and second half analysis. It was very quick. We didn't have much time with him, but here it is. You can hear it for yourself.
Enjoy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, how did you feel about the first half?
Not very good.
Not very good.
You
know,
I was a bit disappointed in the halftime. I think we're on the heels. We're one step behind everything. I think we got that sorted in second half, and we're more disciplined, and we're on the toes, and we're on the front foot, and we. It didn't have to be a reaction. We were there at the right places all the time, so we didn't turn over the ball so easy, and we found a way to win. That's what good teams are doing.
True. That's it.
Oh, perfect. That's perfect. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That was Coach Nielsen us a nice little nugget about the game.
Wait, you know? Wasn't that the biggest Jimmy?
Oh,
the biggest Jimmy.
The biggest Jimmy.
Yeah, it was the biggest Jimmy.
Of course. The namesake of this podcast is really who it was.
Then we got a chance to talk with the assistant coach, Coach Ritchie, and he gave us quite a bit more. And, you know, we appreciate it. He had a little bit more time on his hands. And so hopefully we can get him on the podcast. But here he is regarding the first and second half and a few more tidbits of information. Some of it's kind of fun. So here he is.
So we talked to Jimmy about the game, the first half. How did you feel about the game as a whole, though?
I thought we played well. I thought we came out and played very well for the first 25 minutes. I thought then Austin started to find a rhythm and played very well and actually started, I think, to control the game a little bit by the end of the first half. They were finding sort of gaps in behind us, but we talked about that at halftime. We got a little bit more compact, and I think we kept the game in front of us a lot, and Austin found it very hard to break us down, and it was two good teams going at each other, and luckily tonight, finally we got the luck of the bounce. I think normally that goes against us, isn't it? It seemed to go against us at the start of the season, but today we got that ball that bounced in nice, and it was a bit unfortunate that it came off the defender and came down, but the boys did well, and KG getting married this week,
yes,
and banging
yes.
one in, he'll be yep. as happy as Larry, I think. So it was good. I'm very, very pleased. We beat a very good team tonight.
So let me ask you, you're one of our favorites on the podcast because of the Tulsa game. I have to ask you, the first Tulsa game, I think the video showed that you were a bit into the game. Tell us what happened there, yeah?
Ah, nah, I was just introducing myself to Coach Orvin. It was all good. And and put it like that, I don't think I'm getting any Christmas cards off him anytime soon.
Yes,
but
don't do it.
But it's all good. It's all good fun. And it
absolutely.
Is a bad dig in there.
So after the first game, how'd you feel about the Open Cup game this past Wednesday?
Loved it. Very difficult field to go and play on. Very
yes.
difficult. It's very small lengthwise. It's about 106 odd yards, I think. Maybe just slightly bigger. But the baseball diamond, the grass, is sort of dying on that side now almost. It's not very good. And then the other grass, they don't water it much before the game, so it's very spongy. So as you saw, the game was a bit dull and it was slow. The ball was slow moving, and it was hard to move the ball.
Absolutely.
So it was difficult. It was difficult. I thought we outplayed them by quite some ways. Their systems, their system's interesting. Where they have four solid at the back, and it's almost like three defensive mids in front, and then all they want to do is play long balls to the big boys up top. But they made it difficult to break them down, and luckily big Peter came up with an absolute screamer, an absolute peach, and we're a few minutes to go, and he does that all the time in training, and I think it was deserved. I mean, as I say, I think we were the better team on the night, and Big Zach's been playing well in goal for them, so it would take something special to beat them.
So with that saying though, is that gonna add anything to you guys playing them again on the 13th of June?
It's a derby match. It's always going to be a derby match, you know. And the thing with derby match is, it's the old saying, you know, form doesn't really count. It's who goes out there and who battles, and sometimes it's who gets a luck of the bounce. But yeah, I mean, obviously they're going to be upset. You know, they lost the game right at the end. There's nothing worse than losing a game right at the end.
Absolutely.
It feels like you're kicking the nuts massively, but they're going to come here, they're going to be flying, they're going to want to get something back. They've got talent on the team, you know, there is a lot of good players on that team as well, and it's up to us to put their fire out when they get here, and we'll do our best to do that.
Now also, is that going to have any effect on us playing Dallas 3 days later, or at all?
We've got to sit down as coaches and look at the schedule and modify training as a result of things like that. And yeah, the schedule's so compact. It's so compact.
It definitely
and you saw the injuries we picked up there for the last couple of games. We've been struggling, and almost everyone is back tomorrow, fit to go. Busco's going to be another couple of weeks, a new Danish lad. Maybe not a couple of weeks, maybe another week or so. But the congested schedule and doesn't make it easy, but it's the same for every team, and there's no excuses. You know, we just go out there, we'll try and every time we're on the field, we'll try and win, we'll try and put on a show for the fans, and you know, we've got a great run of form just now. Long may it continue, and four wins in a row, unbeaten in five, I believe. So I hope it continues. Portland's going to be very difficult on Friday night, but as I say, we'll regroup, we'll train, we'll get a regen in, and we'll be ready to go.
Alright, awesome.
Thanks, lads. Thank you.
That was Coach Richie there. We'll see you on the podcast, Coach. Very candid. We appreciate that, telling us what's going on. He didn't just give us the cliches. Not that Coach Nielsen did either. I mean, he was just pressed for time. He was very open about the game, too.
He's very busy, and we caught him at I would say we caught him at kind of a harsh time.
We did.
That was very diplomatic of you there.
Yes. Yeah. No.
Oh, yes.
No. Hey. Look.
We love both of them, and they're both great people. We've had good times with both of them. Skinny sometimes to watch some matches, and they do really well in talking with us and just actually hanging out and being real people rather than just professionals, which is great.
Yeah, and we actually got a couple of tidbits that you guys will like to hear. Christian Duke and Mikey Lopez are actually back from injury. They practiced today, which is Monday when we're recording this podcast, so they're definitely ready. Well, attempting to get ready for our game against Portland, but they're back, which is good. Yeah, that's great news.
They're
going to
be optimistic.
And Reed McKenna is back as well. He's played in a couple of games since the U.S. Open Cup game as well, so glad to have those guys back. We do need the depth since we're going into a scheduling time where we've got a lot of games, so good to hear that. And so we didn't cover the ugly. You guys want to talk about the ugly of the Austin game? I'll go ahead and start. The keeper uniform.
Austin's keeper uniform.
Not only was he a banana, but they put the logo on the lower back of the shirt, so he looked like he had an Austin
tramp
Aztecs
stamp.
Tramp stamp.
No, here's the great thing about it, though. We posted or on Twitter, we tagged him, we tagged his team, and we put a chant that we said about him looking like a banana, and he liked it.
Yeah.
Like, mad respect for that guy. But you still look like a banana.
I just changed my good from Kyle got married to the tramp stamp of the Aztecs.
Daniel, what was the name of that goalkeeper last year when we went to the – or not last year, 2 years ago when we went to the OKCFC games that – he played for Houston. But
he played for the Dutch Lions. He loved us.
Dutch Lions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were singing about him the whole time, and he would, like, turn around and clap and stuff.
And then the second time we played him in the playoffs, he had a shirt that said, I love you fans, or I love you OKC,
the OKCFC logo on
it. We chanted that he should transfer to OKC for that guy.
That was the same guy.
Yeah, really? Basically, the gist of what I'm saying is we love keepers that can handle the bants.
Yeah, and they can. And
He does pretty well. He likes it. It's funny.
Yeah, that was my ugly of the game was the jersey, which was all yellow.
The banana?
Including yellow socks.
It wasn't just the jersey. It was the shorts, too. And the socks. It was everything. All yellow.
Are you a fashion designer, Mugatu? We're just going to keep referencing Zoolander in this podcast.
We're so hot right now.
He turned around and blue steeled us.
Eddie, what was your ugly of the game?
My ugly was the play that leaded up to Kyle Gregg's goal, that clearance.
Led up to?
What'd I say?
Leaded.
Hey, this is supposed to be an English.
Let's cut that part.
No, we're leaving it.
No, we're going to leave it because it's best.
Yeah, my ugly was the defensive effort that led up to Kyle Gregg's goal. Austin Defender basically booted it like 15 yards into the sky, and Gregg just happened to be there to put it home after it came down.
Yeah, that was an ugly play. Ryan, what was your ugly of the game?
As someone who wasn't in attendance at the game itself, watching on the YouTube stream at home, my ugly is going to have to be the camera work in this game. The angles were...
Hater. I heard about that.
I thought he was going to go...
But I was at the game, so it was fine.
I really thought he was going to go that his ugly was himself that didn't show up to the game and was watching at home on the YouTube stream.
sub-ugly me. I'm just ugly in general. Anyways, but no, for a period
we all know.
For a period of 13 minutes, and it's very fortunate that this occurred when we scored, but for a period of 13 minutes, the camera was in
the back
right-hand part of the goal.
Yeah, and it was, yeah.
Well, it was not in front of that goal for about 10 of those 13 minutes, so you could see nothing on the stream.
Construction workers who work on the stadium, we would love it if you'd finish the press box. There's no rain anymore, so
please.
It's been 6 weeks to do a 1 week job.
Eddie, it must be.
I could have done it myself.
By the hour. Yeah.
Union.
No, you couldn't have that broke ass leg.
That's true.
I'm sorry. I said a bad word. I said a no.
Tyler, what was your ugly of the game?
Besides Eddie's leg, there are...
That's kind of messed up.
Well,
that is
messed
up.
It's ugly. It's gotten very thin and frail. But I would have to go ahead and say that my ugly would be the fact. Can I say the same thing from the last game, pretty much, and just say, hey, my ugly is the fact that we couldn't finish. Easy finishes again, like something we should have had, and then all of a sudden we get this giver that we get. Like it was a gimme.
That's the term gimme.
It was definitely a gimme.
Yeah, but if you look at like every game, the last four or five games, all of our goals have come second half. Like we're clearly a second half team. We cannot score in the first half.
We had opportunities. We had breakaways. We had opportunities in the first half.
Watch the replays. It's every game.
Eddie, if I can contradict you, we score eight goals throughout the whole season. Eight goals in the first half, six in the second half. So.
Yeah,
well, lately when we've been winning
goals
now.
In
our
the second
streak,
half,
though,
but when else are we having a
our winning streak right now? I mean, we're a second half team. We're not scoring in the first half. We're either down or it's nils. We're scoring second half only.
We had opportunities before that in the second half that we just couldn't do.
for some reason.
Yeah, no,
I'm not disagreeing with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm just saying, like, there was so much more.
We should have more both halves, but second half is when we're putting it home.
Well, you know, as good unbiased casters, we always think that our team should win 4-5-0. But
yeah, there's
something to be said, fact that we are leaving some opportunities on the field that we don't want to. But I guess the important thing is we are winning. So if it happens to be 1-0 with 20 chances, then it happens to be 1-0 with 20 chances. So
I will say, though, that as far as what we've discussed on the podcast, just ourselves, the team is making vast improvements in terms of goalkeeping and defense, which is something that we really harped on in the first few podcasts.
Yeah, but I feel like we're starting to lack a little bit in the offense, because the only real offense these last two games is producing from the last two games I'm talking, producing from the bench.
Well, you know, that's okay, because as they say, defense wins championships, so.
True.
Yeah, so.
Fine.
So to round out the Austin game again, we did win 1-0 by a goal from Kyle Gregg in the 71st minute. Kyle Gregg, poacher, so hot right now. And
he's so hot right now.
Hot, poacher. So we'll go ahead and look forward to the game against Portland. So we have Portland Timbers 2, Friday, June 5th. Another kind of weirdly scheduled game. That was a pop. It was weird because it was a bottle, but it worked. It is another weirdly scheduled game. You guys are used to the Saturday games. Well, we've had Sunday against Austin. The Portland game is Friday, June 5th. It's actually a very
shout out to Portland is what the editor is saying. I don't know why. I just heard it in my ear, so I just
because they beat Tulsa.
It's like a teleprompter. Yeah. It's like a teleprompter. Because they beat Tulsa. That's right. That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, so I'm did. Like, if Matt says something in my ear, I'm like on the, you know, Ron Burgundy, who just reads everything off the teleprompter. You know what I'm saying? So,
good night, San Diego. Me.
Go.
Wait, yeah. No.
No.
Sorry. 7 p.m. this Friday, though, guys. Just remember that. 7
Shout
p.m.
Shout out. That's my first time doing it. This actually is a very important game. we're only up 1 point on Portland. So we get them Friday. What are you guys looking for in this game, Ryan? What are you looking for?
A win.
Are you Ryan? Is your name Ryan? Are we in some alter?
So what are you looking for, Ryan?
Really, I hope we just going back to their game against Tulsa. They played kind of sluggish in the first half, and they weren't really impressive in the second half either. They didn't play a very good game. So I just really hope that our offense, especially Koenig, can capitalize on that. And because Tulsa had a million chances in the first half, I just hope we can, you know, improve upon our finishing and score a lot of goals and win.
Yeah, I'm looking for a first half goal, something we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
You know, Portland just kind of rolled over Tulsa. They had some touches that were really good, but I'm hoping that our defense can up to that and keep them from scoring. You know, they scored a couple late on Tulsa, so as long as we can hold them off from that, we should get the W.
Yeah, on the score sheet, Portland had what looked like what could have been a decisive match. Didn't watch the full game, watched the highlights, just caught that. And obviously they won 3-1 when you win by 2 goals. Better than 1 goal. So
right.
Well, but really, it's kind of one of those things that Portland could get on their own win streak at this point. So it only takes one for all of it to kind of fall.
I will just say real quick that Portland's last goal was in like the 90-plus minute. I mean, it was right before the end of the game. Tulsa had already given up,
yeah.
And they gave them kind of a crap penalty for their second goal. So, I mean, I feel like it was a pretty uneven game if you look at the scorecard. But
yeah, I agree. It was a really poor call. I would be very upset if it was called against us. It was a handball in the box, but it was incidental contact, you know, with ball to hand.
You couldn't even see it.
Yeah, no, you couldn't see it. That's why I that's
That's why I did say if you look at the score, but you know, you guys went into more detail about it. So
yeah, we
appreciate that.
Having said that, thank you, Portland, for beating Tulsa.
Thank you.
You did us a solid.
We appreciate you. The real fact of the matter is we don't want you to beat us, and we really are – we're going to work hard.
Well, here's a good thing about it is that we finally get some rest at home. So we played Austin on Sunday, and they get to stay home until we play Portland on Friday. So we get to practice here. They get to sleep in their own beds. They're not traveling around everywhere from Vancouver to Texas to everywhere, you know.
Well, one of the main things I'm looking for actually is going to be to have some actual goals scored by us when we have the chances. I've complained a lot about this, I know, but it's one of those things that's like, hey, you got the opportunity, put it away. And sometimes I don't feel like they are, and sometimes I hope they do, this game especially.
I agree. I think that we should score more goals, and that's how we're going to win the game also. So, great analysis. That's,
you won 100% of the game.
You know what I mean.
Score more goals.
We've had so many opportunities that we haven't put away in the last few games, and you guys are sitting here hounding me.
I know. I'm sorry. It's cool. I also agree. I agree that we should score more goals. So,
no, just on our opportunities.
Yes.
Come on.
All right. So, again, a big game against Portland. We're ahead of them in the standings by a point. We do have a game in hand, but they are on our heels, and it will be a big game, especially at home again. A big player to watch in this game is Michael Nanchoff. He had two goals for Portland in the game against Tulsa. Now, one of them was a penalty, but he's obviously probably their most important player. He's a good player, and he's somebody to watch.
I'm going to tell you that that first goal that he scored, it was kind of a volley to himself. That was just ridiculous.
It was wicked sick, man.
That's how you like to do it.
That makes up, for, I guess, for the lack of ridiculousness of the penalty.
It was crazy. He popped it up over the defender and then just volleyed it right
into
the net. Yeah,
left foot volley to himself and just drilled it.
Well, he'll be somebody that Van Kamp and Hedrick or Cody Andrews or whoever we have in center back need to watch. So, all right. So what we'll do now is we'll take a look at what happened around USL Pro League this past week. There was quite a few exciting games, and as always, we'll go to Tyler for the games. What do you got, Ty?
So first we had the New York Red Bulls 2. They lost 2-4 to Richmond at Richmond. Richmond, I guess, pretty much dominated the game. We'll move forward. The most exciting game, I would say, besides the energy matches this week, was Harrisburg City and Pittsburgh. It was 5-6. Oh my gosh!
If you were following that game on FotMob, it just seemed ridiculous.
It was insane.
Wow!
What was it? Pittsburgh scored three goals.
Three goals in stoppage in time.
4 minutes.
The 90th minute.
I actually watched this game today.
Me too. Yeah.
And I'm just going to go into it just a little bit. Harrisburg City started the scoring. They scored three goals in the first 10 minutes. And then right after halftime, Pittsburgh scored two goals in 6 minutes. And then right after that, Harrisburg scored another one. And Pittsburgh went on to score their third. It was a penalty that was blocked. And then the rebound went in the 81st minute.
Yeah, you know, I think that goaltender was just kind of sitting down on it. He just kind of blocked, made the easy block, but...
Oh, yeah, no. The keeper in that PK, he essentially just stood there, allowed the ball to hit him, and then stood back on his... Shoot again.
Stood back on his heels.
And let him, yeah.
He stood back on his... The goalkeeper essentially just stood there, allowed the ball to hit him, and then stood back on his heels and let them shoot the ball into the back of the net. It was terrible.
Well, here's the deal. As a goalie, you think I make the first save and my team's coming to take care of the rest.
Yeah.
You're not thinking you have to make multiple saves. You are thinking those defenders are rushing into the 18, not being lazy, which is exactly what happened.
It was very lazy. And if you want to hear some excitement.
It was lazy on both parts, in my opinion. Like, not just,
oh, yeah, yeah.
The goalkeeper should have noticed, hey, look, my defenders, that went to an offensive player. I should be ready now. Like a cat.
I think the craziest part of this game is if you watch the whole thing, there was actually a lot of defense played in this game. I mean, for a 5-6 scoreline, there was actually, like, there were a number of stops. All the goals were scored off of, well, penalty, clearly, but, like, a lot of fast breaks, ball over the top, just perfect plays. I mean, there was a lot of defense played. And to score three goals in stoppage time to get the win, you want to hear excitement in fans, you need to go back and watch the highlights of this game because it got crazy.
Yeah, I mean, first off, Pittsburgh Stadium is absolutely beautiful. It's right on the river there. I mean, it's beautiful. But not only that, but I agree. Like, it was beautiful play. The very last goal that they scored to win the game was a beautiful 1-2 wall pass, and the guy literally just passed it into the corner. I mean, it was a beautiful play. And yeah, defense should have been better, but what do you do but just tip your cap and just go on? So
he didn't swing at the ball at all. He just passed it to the corner. That was the best part.
And yeah, that's the thing about the game is all of Pittsburgh's goals, there weren't really any bad goals that they scored. They were all very impressive goals.
Oh yeah, no, in particular,
the header, yeah.
That ridiculous. No, I'm talking about the free kick goal.
Yeah, the free kick goal was legit.
So the guy sets up over the ball, so the wall can't really see where the ball's going, and it looks like he's just going to tee it off for the guy who set up. But no, one of the kind of defenders comes in late, and they pass it to him, and he didn't even really shoot. He just kind of hits it right, and it's just a riser all the way into the
top. Not only was it had a little bit of a curve on if you look at it, and just kind of laid in there softly, gently, beautifully. Top corner.
I will say that they seem to focus the cameras in on like the seven people that were there, and they didn't really show a lot of the stadium.
I couldn't tell how many people they actually had. Which I mean, maybe they're smarter than most of the teams. Good for them. Just saying, hey, look, we've got only like 1,000 people here, so we're just gonna focus in on the 1,000 we've got and kind of like give you the close up.
If you listen to that last goal there, I mean, they screamed like there was like 8,000 people at that stadium.
It was crazy.
It went crazy.
True. You can never tell exactly how many were there.
So, you know, we'll round it out with this. Think about being a Harrisburg City fan. You give up a 3-0 lead.
You're ahead the whole time.
You're up 3-0. Then you're up 4-2. And you're up 5-3 going into the 90th minute.
Got to be the most tragic story. It's like a Greek tragedy.
Greek tragedy.
Yeah. I'm just going to call it right now. I'm going to call it right now. That starts a Harrisburg City losing streak. That game right there.
Yeah.
If I was a Harrisburg fan, I would definitely delete all social media and just stay away from the internet for a while.
It's not like they didn't play a good game, though. But anyways,
it just played worse.
Yeah, true. So next up we had Rochester and Montreal. At Rochester, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. Rochester remains unbeaten.
They're unbeaten.
Unbeaten.
Why can't anyone beat you? You're starting to get annoying. But anyways, let's move forward. St. Louis played Louisville City. Louisville City.
I don't Louisville. Louisville.
Yeah.
Louisville.
They tied 1-1, and this is beginning to become a very boring I'm gonna say like their rivalry is boring. Like they just tie each other. Who cares anymore? St. Louis, you might think you're the best city for all sports in America ever, but you aren't. You're not proving it. You're not proving it right now. So now we're gonna just run through this. Wilmington lost to Charleston 1-0. Portland, Tulsa. Thank you 3-1.
Thanks, Portland.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
We love you this week.
It was a solid lose to
us. Seattle tied Orange County.
That was a good result for us. We want teams ahead of us to draw. So
yeah, we love draws with teams ahead of us. Salt Lake City, Sacramento tied 1-1, which Lake City got another PK, another penalty, and that's all they score on, apparently. They don't really score. They don't really do much of anything.
Look at
look at Sacramento right now. They lost to us, and then they tie the worst team in the West.
They might be on a downward fall.
That was like the second or third game in a row that they won off a penalty.
Right. So,
anyways, so Colorado Springs lost to Los Angeles, the Los Dos, 2-1. So, there's that. Really cares. Arizona, which is one of the teams that was ahead of us, and like we said, they were on a downward spiral. We said this, what, 2-3 weeks ago in our second podcast that they were good starting out, but they were downward. They lost 2-0 to Vancouver. So that's all around the league so far this week. We'll have more talk about next week. We'll go over them. We also had quite a few Open Cup matches, and that's not including the whole Tulsa OKC 1-0. This is going to get us into the whole Dallas issue.
Yeah, so let me cut in here. I just want to say that the USL and the NASL had about, what, 7 matchups, and the USL absolutely dominated. 6-0-1, didn't lose a game to the NASL, which is supposed to be a superior league. Is second in the USSF pyramid.
Can I interject? Like, why in the world does the USL join the Open Cup before the NASL?
Yeah, so that basically happens because the USSF has a pyramid. MLS is obviously first division in the pyramid. NASL is second division in the pyramid, and USL is third. And so third and below end up playing earlier than the top two divisions. I mean, MLS is just now coming into it because we're playing FC Dallas. This is going to be FC Dallas's first Open Cup game. We've already played, what, 2 games?
Yeah, didn't we not just prove them wrong, though?
We did. We did, and that actually leads into a question. I think it was by Jim Jackson who asked, I think it was Jim. He asked, you know, he's not really familiar, what would it take for USL to be in the same division as NASL or at least be higher in the pyramid? Well, to be pretty frank about it, it would take USSF, a.k.a. Sunil Gulati, who's our president, to decide that USL needed to be a second division league. So right now it's just NASL that's second division, but as I've talked and argued with many people about, the second and third division are exactly the same, if the third division isn't even better. I mean, the USL, as we've seen by head-to-head matchup, is obviously a better league, but it's all about definitions, and the NASL technically has a second division rating. It's really dumb. It means nothing. So for those of you guys out there who don't really know that, it's just really a label. Don't worry about it. You guys can look at these games and see that USL is better, to be honest.
You also have to look at the fact that what is one of the first teams in the recent years that has moved up? It was a USL team,
right?
And they moved. It was Orlando City, and they moved up to the MLS. And I'm not going to say they're a failure because they're obviously not. So far, so good for them. Like, I think they're in a playoff spot even in the MLS, which, you know, it's just like saying, hey, there's 2 leagues. They're about the same. Like,
they are.
I would say now, I would say we're better.
Yeah.
But I think that's just by recent results. And what stumps people's opinions are results.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was just going to say. How do you judge a league against another? Well, obviously, the teams when they play each other. And so what you've seen is that the USL teams are not only winning, but are not losing. We didn't have a single NASL team that beat USL. So there's something to be said for that. So,
well, I would also say, though, there were a lot of ties, a lot of, after attempts.
Boy, there was extra time in quite a few games.
So much USL extra came time.
Out. Yeah, USL came out.
We definitely came out on top of most of them.
But, so, yeah, you want to run through those important Open Cup matches?
No, I'll run through them all, and we can talk about the important ones. Charlotte, and if you know Charlotte, you can die by the sword.
Die by the sword.
They beat the Carolina Railhawks 1-0.
Who died by the sword.
Oh, they died by the sword.
They definitely died by the sword. Then there's the Fort Lauderdale Strikers, played at Charleston Battery, or well, at I guess, but they lost 3-2, which was a pretty close matchup. Louisville, you played one of the better, I guess, or yep. well known.
And they've been rumored for MLS too and stuff, and so they are definitely a top class NASL team. And they
that's exactly why I say whooped. They're. Yeah, that's why. Well, I wouldn't say it's a whooping. It was the whole in regular time it was 0-0.
Yeah, but I watched that game. They were the far better team. They were unfortunate. Oh,
yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
They.
That was actually for the scoreline. That was actually a really good game.
Yeah.
But in the after attempt, they lost 2-0. Time.
Yep.
Extra time, they lost 2-0. Rochester, who is still at Rochester,
they're unbeaten.
To this day, they beat Harrisburg City, and that went to extra time, and it was 3-1 in extra time, which is kind of weird. They went 0-0 in regular time,
then four goals,
and then all of a sudden four goals, bam!
Really?
I guess everyone just got tired. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Wow.
Rochester should have beat them early, too. I mean, if you watch that game, Rochester should have just dominated them from kickoff on.
Colorado Springs, Real Monarchs, which Real Monarchs can't score a goal, so that game was 1-0.
Ha! Got them.
Huh.
Portland and Seattle played each other. It was 1-1 in regular time, and then extra time was 1-2. There was that.
Seattle, by the way. 1-2 Seattle.
1-2 Seattle. Jacksonville Armada. I will say I love that name.
Another NASL cool. team to go down.
But they lost.
They lost.
Cool name,
they
still lost.
They lost bad to Richmond Kickers 3-0. There was the next day Rowdies that lost to the Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
Another kind of building block. NASL team, Tampa Bay Rowdies lost to Pittsburgh.
As a Seattle Sounders fan, Tampa Bay beat Seattle a couple years ago, which was our only first round loss ever. I mean,
yeah,
it was kind of sad.
What they're doing now, losing.
So. They're losing. They're losing now. So
that's what Seattle gets.
Good game right here. Minnesota United, which is going to be, they have announced they are a MLS club soon.
2018.
Yeah. I thought it was 17 or 18. But, so they tied 1-1 in regular time, and then they ended up taking it all the way to penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up losing 3-1 in penalties.
Well done, St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis. Well done. That's a hard fought battle right there. Like good work. You're making us look good. Austin spanked San Antonio Scorpions, which
another rumored MLS franchise would be San Antonio, and they lost.
But nothing good has ever come out of San Antonio.
Yeah, but they are very rumored. They're like extremely. People want that to happen for some reason, and I'm like.
San Antonio?
They have their own stadium, dude.
Yeah,
are they
their own
even
stadium.
Good, though? Obviously, they're not
good. Well, they have
obviously,
a lot of
people to be good. They got beat by Austin, which...
They're terrible.
I'm sorry, who beat Austin this week?
We did, I think.
Oh, Energy.
Oh, yeah.
Oklahoma City Energy, I believe.
Obviously, Austin isn't that good. Maybe you should point it towards Energy. Next, Chula Vista
played Sacramento.
The score was 7-3. Guess who won?
What'd you say the score was?
7-3.
Wow.
My goodness.
That's 10 goals.
Their run rules in Open Cup because they were close.
Sacramento had.
Guess what happened? Their best player only scored one goal.
Sacramento had one touchdown, and Chula Vista only kicked an extra point.
Yeah.
Field goal.
No, that's not an extra point.
Joe Rowe. He didn't row his boat off the field this week. I know, overused now that I said it twice, but he scored a goal and, you know, did what Roro does.
That's right.
Great plays.
That's what's going on around the Open Cup. If you guys don't know already, we do play FC Dallas, what, June 15th, boys?
June 16th.
Oh, 16th, sorry.
16th,
yes. Yep.
We will be there.
We'll be
there.
That
will be at TCU, right?
Yep.
Yes, at TCU Stadium. So
for some reason, they don't
want
it at Toyota Stadium, but no, that's because they...
So we will see you guys there in Dallas, and we'll talk about that more in the next podcast. But a lot going on in the U.S. Open Cup. To get to the question and answer, do we have any question and answer, guys?
Well, yeah.
We also already answered a couple of them, but we've got more.
Yeah, we had a question on Facebook from Jonathan Kratz. He asked, as a newcomer to the ESL system, what are the chances and processes for Oklahoma City to develop an MLS franchise? And he actually said, or Tulsa, but we don't really care about that. So we're just going to go on OKC.
That'll never happen.
And I think Daniel wants to explain this.
Yeah, so MLS expansion is happening. This season we've seen two teams, New York City FC, Orlando FC, are in the league now. They're going to have four teams added by 2020 to beat 24 teams total. So you have another LA team, so LAFC is going to be one of the new MLS teams. Minnesota United, as we alluded to earlier, is going to be an MLS team.
Atlanta
is going to be a new MLS team. They're actually going to be here in 2017. Both LAFC and Minnesota United will be here in 2018, most likely. And it's rumored, if they can get a stadium deal done, that Miami will be an MLS team as well. So that you have four teams, which Don Garber, who's the MLS commissioner, guaranteed we'd have by 2020. There's the four there. That doesn't mean that things won't change, because these were announced pretty rapidly. So, but I must say, there are a couple of different places that are rumored before Oklahoma City would ever be rumored. That would be Sacramento, who shows about 11,000 at least a game.
Yeah, their attendance is solid week in and week out.
And definitely outstanding. And with Roro, I mean.
Yeah. They have great players. And not only that, but they're renovating their stadium, getting it ready for MLS. It's really just a matter of time for Sacramento, if we're being honest with ourselves here. Another area would be San Antonio. They do have a soccer-specific stadium. They have an NASL team. But they've been rumored for a while. And then finally,
they suck.
Yeah, they do. Good job, yeah. Austin. Another city, you guys may or may not have heard of this, but they call it the soccer capital of the United States, is St. Louis. Another city that is a soccer hotbed. They do get a good attendance. They love their team there. That's another one. So there's three there that are obviously probably before Oklahoma City.
St. Louis also calls themselves the sports fan capital of the United States, maybe the world. And so, you know, St. Louis, get over yourselves.
He, of course,
says that as an angry San Francisco Giants fan.
Yeah,
so.
Don't listen to what he's saying.
I am not angry because we have beaten them every time we play them in the playoffs since my birth. So I'm fine with that.
Enough baseball.
But baseball. No. St. Louis FC fans are now starting to try to talk like they are the capital of the USL now.
Right.
So it's not just becoming baseball.
So we'll see. But really, it doesn't take much. The MLS has to approve you. You have to pay a $20 million franchise fee just to have it. There's only four teams who have done that.
You had to do a $100 million buy-in.
No, $20 million franchise fee. Yeah.
Isn't there a stadium requirement also?
Thank you, Edward.
Edward.
Yes. Yes. So,
Edward.
So here's the deal, and this is why it's interesting to talk about, because besides the $20 million fee, there really is not very hardcore rules about this, because LAFC, the new LA team, doesn't have a stadium yet.
The Beckhams?
No, that's Miami.
No, that's going to be Miami.
The Beckhams, and I hope Beckham gets it done, but anyways, continue.
They don't have a stadium either. Minnesota is still trying to figure out their stadium, and guess what? So is Atlanta. So the rule is that, yes,
You're supposed to do your franchise fee, and you're supposed to have stadium plans. But as we can see, if MLS can steal what they consider a big market, we got to have another LA team, I guess. Minnesota's actually a good market. The other two, Atlanta and Miami, I could do without, but they think they're stealing a market, so they'll give them a chance. They'll announce them, and then hopefully they get a stadium done. That's basically what they're hoping for. So,
I think Miami could do it. I mean, actually, the other LA I could do without, and Atlanta I could do without.
I could also do without the gratuitous New York. Honestly, at this point in the MLS. Yeah, at this point in the MLS, I don't think you really need to have two teams in one market. It's definitely gratuitous.
They're playing in a baseball stadium.
Yeah. Anyways, so that kind of takes away from the UL, but we hope to be there someday, and we hope to have that.
Absolutely. I think if you look at the culture of the club, if you look at the structure, obviously Jimmy Nielsen is a hell of a coach. That's all there. It's just about getting your place in line and getting all your friends to come out to games and having huge attendance like Sacramento does, because that's ultimately what put Sacramento into the conversation, was that they're showing up tens of thousands of people every game. So keep that in mind. Invite your friends out, take them to the game, and that'll help.
Tulsa will never get there because of their attendance, but we will soon.
Right.
We just got to get the attendance up, and
we're there.
Yeah. I mean,
honestly, something that I would be interested in seeing would be Orlando City's attendance last season. Did they really pack the stands that much?
It was. Yeah, I looked that up actually, and they,
for what they had.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. For what they were confined to within their stadium,
and even what they're doing this season is still pretty great.
Yeah. They're doing really well.
Yeah. They're doing very well. They're very successful. Oh, that's good.
So yeah. So lots of good stuff going on there. Again, your Oklahoma City Energy are sitting at fifth in the standings. If the season ended right now, they'd be in the playoffs, doing very well, on a winning streak in both Open Cup and also in the league. We're looking forward to our game Friday against Portland. Just want to shout out to everybody who listens, everybody who follows us on Twitter at Jimmy's Army Pod, to those who follow us on Facebook, Jimmy's Army Podcast. Find us on iTunes, Jimmy's Army Podcast. We love you, Anthem. We look forward to doing a podcast at your brewery. Thank you, Ben. Shout out to you.
Shout out to Ben.
Shout outs, guys.
Shout out.
Yes, please. Thank you. We appreciate everything that you guys all do for us, especially the people that are very involved.
I'm going to give a shout out to Coop, because we're going to do a podcast there eventually, as well as Rough Tail.
We're going to do
a podcast there eventually yet. They just don't know it.
All right.
Were you there on the tour of Rough Tail? Their facilities are a little.
I still have the gallon keg from Rough Tail.
Oh, yeah, growler. I have it too.
I tried to talk him into bringing
the growler. Sort of.
Got the mini keg.
No, I got the bigger one too, but I didn't.
Well, thank you guys for listening in. Share it. Spread the name. Listen to us. Give us feedback. Tell us we're crappy. Tell us we're good. Tell us we look good with our shirts off.
Don't just tell us we're crappy. Tell us why we're crappy. Because if it's that. Ryan's fault, we're planning on cutting it.
Or if it's, Tyler's voice and how creepy it sounds. Just how unsettled you feel whenever he speaks.
Yes. Yeah.
A special shout out to Eddie Martz for coming on the podcast. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for the invite.
And we'll see you guys next week. Thanks.